We met this earlier for a Bible class. We're entering into our 10 a.m. worship in just a few moments. Before we do that, I'll make just a few brief announcements. A couple things to mention. I'm not aware of anybody who's on the sick list this morning. We do have several members, though, who have medical ailments that they've been dealing with for the last few weeks. We want to be mindful of them. Also, Tabitha Nevins. She continues to strengthen. My understanding is that she'll be able to go home here in the next week or so, if I'm remembering correctly. So we'll want to pray for that. We do have a few members out of town this morning. Tim Clark, as a few of us are aware, he's still around on business, wasn't able to get back. The Lichtenbergs are also out and traveling. I'm not aware of anybody who is away from us this morning. Mark Kaysen is listed as having the Wednesday invitation. There is a upcoming meeting in the area. It'll be over at the Northwest Church of Christ over in Evansville. They're having Mike Noble from Shelbyville, Kentucky. That will be starting on April 8th. So you've got a couple of weeks. It'll be a full week meeting. So I'm sure they would appreciate it if we can make it out to any opportunities we have for that. As I mentioned, we are entering into a worship here this morning. We will have a second opportunity to meet this afternoon at 4 p.m., so if you're in the area, we would encourage you to also be able to join us for that. But as far as our order of worship this morning goes, Aaron Collins is listed as having the opening prayer for this morning. Communion will be handled by Mark Nevins. James is listed as assisting him. Tony is our song leader. You'll see he's got 789. Mark is his first selection, so you might want to be turning to that in your songbook. Chuck Bartle will be handling our preaching this morning. Warren Ryder is handling closing word of prayer for us. As far as just a few other comments, we will have our radio show. It's at 2 o'clock this afternoon, as normal. We'll have our normal Sunday radio broadcast. 2 p.m. You can catch it on 98.5 FM. We are working up the schedule for the next several weeks. If you're going to have any absences, take a look at the schedule. Let Chuck know now. We're trying to plan ahead on that. If there's anything that I have failed to mention, please let me know, and I will be sure to make mention of it this evening. Otherwise, I will turn the floor over to Tony.
Seven eighty-nine. Work for the night is coming.
Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work with springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming. Work through the sunny noon. Fill brightest hours with labor. Rest comes sure.
Prayer 871. In his son.
In his son. He breaks all things beautiful in his son. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say in your time.
You and to pray to you. Father, help us not to take this privilege for granted. Realizing that being able to talk to you is a blessing that comes from you and that you have given to those that are faithful and obedient unto your word. We think of scripture such as the righteous and prayer of a righteous man availeth much, Lord. And so we're thankful for this privilege, this blessing that we are even able to come to you in prayer and to speak to you. Not just at this time, but that's reminded of Scripture to speak to you often, without ceasing. Every moment of every day and before we do something, that we're thinking about you, that we're thinking about truth, we're thinking about your word, we're thinking about your guidance and all that we do. And so, Father, we pray that truly our light will shine to others, that truly we are being the salt of the earth, Lord. And that because of that light, because of that salt, and they will come to us and ask us about you, Lord. We can tell them about the blessing of prayer. We can tell them about the blessing of forgiveness. We can tell them about the blessing of the plan of salvation. We can tell others about the blessing of forgiveness of sins and of your Son dying on the cross and raising from the dead. We can talk about the blessing of baptism. We can talk to them about the blessing of the church and the family of God that meets here at River Ridge. Father, thinking of the family of God, we're thankful for this family of God that meets here at River Ridge. We're thankful for the Bible study that we're having on Sunday mornings to remind us and help us to know what our responsibilities are, to help us to see opportunity, and that we will then act on that opportunity when we see that opportunity, and that we have ability. And we've been speaking about that as well, Lord. And we're speaking about, Father, in Bible class, that your word makes sense and that we need to trust in that, Father. So please help us to do so. We're thankful for this day, the Lord's Day, where we can come and worship you, Father. We pray, Father, that we'll do so in spirit and in truth. Father, it's edifying to see all the chairs filled this morning, Lord. We have many visitors with us today. We're thankful for their presence and them edifying and uplifting us. And we're thankful for seeing our members here as well, Lord. We're thankful that we have elders and deacons here at this congregation, another blessing that you have given us. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for the blessing and opportunity that we are able to give as we've been prospered. And thank you for that, Lord. Thinking about finances, we are reminded of the vision and plan that the elders have laid out and available about having a new building, Lord. And we ask your blessings upon that, Father, your wisdom of, and the elders and dealing with this and the knowledge that they're gaining and dealing with this. So please give them wisdom in dealing with that knowledge as they're going to the bank on Tuesday. And Father, your will be done in this. And we just pray for assistance in the building situation and a place then for us to meet on a regular basis. Father, we're thankful for the increase that you've given us as we think about the last several months of the baptisms, of those who have come back to you, for those who have placed their membership here, and for the Bible classes that are continuing to go on, Lord. We're thankful for that increase and the doors that are opening and people interested in truth, Lord, and us embracing that and then preaching and speaking truth, Father. Thank you for your love and your mercy and grace, Father. I know there's many here today that their hearts are hurting because of various members that have passed away and families, Father. I know in my heart this morning is the Ray family as well as the Pickup family. And please be with those families and their recent losses. Father, we ask you to continue to be with Brother Warren and be with the doctors and ministering unto him, Lord, and your will be done in that, Father. And we pray for your healing hand, Lord, and be with him. We have several members that are away and traveling, Father. Please keep them safe and guard and guide them so they can be back with us. What great and awesome God you are. What a privilege it is to worship you this very day. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Turn to 203. 203. We'll sing this song before we take the Lord's Supper. 203.
Man of sorrows, Lord,
this Lord's Supper, also told in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we do this in remembrance of him, of remembrance of me. As we were drawing from the world into this worship service, the world itself says one day a year. That's my emphasis this morning, is going to Acts chapter 7. But what authority do we have to take of this Lord's Supper? Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them in the next day and prolonged his message till midnight. First part of that is our authorization for the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week. And since every week has the first day, we are to partake of it in remembrance of that sacrifice on the cross, that perfect lamb that sacrificed on the cross. If you would, pray with me. Father in heaven, as we come before thee this very moment, we're indeed grateful, Father, for this avenue of prayer. We're sorrowful that your plan of salvation had to include your Son, Jesus. We're grateful that he took upon that plan and to emptied himself out of heaven to come upon this earth. And as a form of that man to take on the world's sins upon that cross. We know the events that surround the cross and the perfect sacrifice of your Son. We pray, Father, that you bless this bread that represents his body. Pray that we do that in a well-pleasing manner in thy sight. In Christ's most holy name, amen. Father, as we continue this communion, this fellowship with your Son's Lord's Supper as he instituted, we pray, Father, that our minds and thoughts are around those events of the cross. We pray that you bless this cup which represents his blood. Pray that we examine ourselves in a manner worthy to accept it. In Christ's most holy name, amen. Amen. Thank you. As I continue an act of worship, we are to lay by in store, and that's what we've been talking about in the Bible class. If you're a visitor among us, you are not obligated nor required to do this, but if you're a Christian identified with the work here at River Ridge, it is our responsibility to give at this time. If you would, bow with me. Father in heaven, as we approach the throne of mercy once again, we're grateful for those physical blessings you have given each one of us this very day. We pray, Father, that we are good stewards of those blessings and that we have considered in our hearts to give a portion of that back as this contribution, that with the leadership of the elders, that they may extend the work of this congregation to this community. We pray, Father, that you continue to bless us, that we continue to be stewards of thy blessing, that we never take those for granted. In Christ's most holy name. Amen. Amen.
Sing number 870 for Brother Chuck Davis, our lesson this morning. 870. If you're willing and able, we'll stand while we sing this song. 870.
I'm happy today. Oh, yes, I'm happy today. In Jesus Christ, I'm happy today. Because he's taken all my sins away. I'm praying today. In Jesus Christ I'm praying today, because he's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm praying today. I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm singing today. In Jesus Christ I'm praying today, because he's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm sharing today.
Please be seated. Song of invitation will be 760-760.
I don't know how many times I've gotten up here and said we have a full house and we have a bunch of members gone. I don't know where they would have sitting. Well, that's a great start grammatically. I don't know where they would have sat. But anyway, it's good to have you all here today. I encourage you to take over your Bible and follow along as we study. We have a lot of visitors. Please don't be in a rush when you leave today. Let us have a chance to visit with you. We have it booked until 11:30, so we're in no rush to leave at 11-ish. 11-ish gives me a little cushion. All right, let me ask you a question right off the bat this morning. Do you have a love for truth? Do you love truth? You might be saying, well, that depends what the circumstances are. Truth hurts sometimes, doesn't it? Especially when you're getting some criticism. And that's never an easy pill to swallow. I think of a passage that kind of combines those who have a love of it and those who don't. When Paul was talking to the Galatian brethren, he just simply put it in the sixth chapter, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? First of all, Paul says, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't want to not tell you the truth. Paul loves the truth. But then he says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Apparently, it was stirring up some animosity because of what they heard. And that's sad. We wish everybody had a love for it. And I have a lot of verses here. I was going to use my introduction. I'm just going to hold off on those and just go right to a text that I usually don't read such a long text, but I think it's important to read it today. And so please turn to John the 9th chapter, because what we're going to learn today, the title of the sermon is, truth is going to have a hard way if... dot, dot, dot. You have to imagine our PowerPoint is up. We did have it at one time. Got burned. But just picture that. Truth will have a hard way if... dot, dot, dot. And to try to get us an idea of our different points, they're found right in this text. And so let me just take the first 4 minutes, maybe. Depends how fast I can read. I know I read pretty fast. I'm going to read the first 34 verses. Yes, 34 verses. But it's a good story, and you'll get the setting. And I think that'll be helpful. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered, said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam, and I washed. I went, washed, and I received sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, and the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I wash, and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. And they said to the blind man again,
What do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, and he had that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called his parents of him who had received the sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, Why? This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, You're completely born in sin. Are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Yep, before me. Okay. We have the picture here, don't we? It's clear. We know what's going on here. I don't think I can really add to anything. The lessons are there for us to grasp. But what I want to do is finish that sentence that I gave you. And we're going to look at, let me see how many, we have five. Okay, you can kind of gauge the points. 5 points. Five answers to, or completing the sentence. Truth has a hard way. Dot, dot, dot. Number one. If people will not listen. I mean, you can talk till you're blue in the face, as the expression goes. You can tell the truth. But if you have individuals who just don't want to hear it, you're not going to accomplish anything. That's why I asked you earlier, do you have a love for truth? A lot of the passages I had listed early on was to describe those people who you can see that just really had a love for it. And then we were going to contrast that with people who just didn't have it. They didn't have that love for the truth, as I mentioned earlier. It's actually Galatians 4:16. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Do we want to hear the truth, especially concerning this? Now, I know there are things out there, you know, as I told you before, you know, somebody might buy a shirt or a dress, say, honey, do you like it? Because they really like it. And they want you to like it. I get that. Do you like this? And as soon as you roll your eyes, that's it, I'm not buying it. They get it, okay? But they want you to agree with them. And I understand that. But I'm just not wanting you to agree with me. I want you to love truth. I just want the truth. And if I'm wrong, I want to be told if I'm wrong. You know, that's easy to say, isn't it? I want to be told if I'm wrong. Well, it all comes back to our disposition. And we're noticing here with these Pharisees, they call this blind man. And he tells them straight up. Ask a question, I'll give you an answer. What do we see on the TV and on the radio? Every Bible question deserves a Bible answer. We're not afraid of investigation. It's an old cliche, but the only thing that suffers from investigation is error. That's the only thing that suffers. If I'm wrong, thank you. What do you mean, thank you? Well, then I found out what was right. You can't help but win when you get the truth. You know, it's like you're getting directions someplace and you're lost. And somebody tells you, well, here's where you need to go. Well, before you can do that, you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to listen if you're going to get to where you want to go. And if people don't want to listen, and that reminds me of over in Acts chapter 7. You know this story. You might want to hold on. I'm going to go back to John chapter 9 periodically this morning. But you know the story with Stephen, and he's out preaching. Here's a man who just loves the people. I know he loves them because when they're stoning him to death, he's crying out to the Father, you know, lay not this sin to their charge. He had compassion on them. He loved the people that he was talking to. But unfortunately, the people that he was talking to, it says in verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Now, I don't think, if you don't like what I'm telling you, if it is the truth, I don't think you're going to pick up stone. I'm pretty sure about that. First of all, they don't have any arms. But what could you do? Leave and never come back. Right? I mean, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And I know if I'm going to go back, I'm going to hear it again. You know what? Because the message isn't going to change. It's true. You can go away and come back a year from now. Lord willing, if I'm still here, okay, maybe not still in this library, but if you come back and assemble with us, you know what you're going to say after the first few minutes? Same old, same old. Yeah. We just want to preach the truth. You know the verses that we quote often. John chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus is the one that says, you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth sets us free from what? Ignorance? Being led astray? False teaching? I mean, what freedom is found in truth? And religiously speaking, you know, I find it rather odd that, you know, I'll talk to religious people. Do you want to study? No. Well, why not? What are you afraid of? You know, if I'm wrong, you're going to be a help to me. And if you're wrong, hopefully I can be a help to you. You know, maybe we're both wrong. We can both find the truth together. But let's just study. What are we afraid of? But I'm asking you right now, are we the type of people that want to listen to the truth? When you refuse, you're not going to find it. And that's what was happening here. The Pharisees, they did not want to listen. And when they asked the parents, they're saying, well, ask him. And I'll talk about that in a few moments. But I like the fact that he comes back, the blind man who was healed, and says to them, do you want to listen this time? You know, I've already answered. I mean, any one of you. TJ, what are you doing? What are you doing for lunch today?
Well, we take time. We're going to go over to Logan. I'm making it.
Okay, and then I turn around and say, TJ, what are you doing for lunch? You just asked me. Weren't you listening? Now there are times when we don't, right? There are times when we've been told things. You know, I've heard that before. I told you. They're coming over for lunch today. Oh, you know, sometimes you don't pay attention, right? But when it comes to this, you can't find the truth without seeking it. Matthew 7:7. If you seek, you're going to find. That's a promise that the Lord gave. Any one of you here, you say, look, I just want to find out an answer to this question. Do you have a Bible question? I guarantee you, you can find the answer. If you have the desire. But if you don't want to listen, hey, Chuck, can you answer me this? And then your mind wants. But you're not going to learn. And that's what we're learning here. Truth is going to have a hard time, obviously, if you don't listen. Now, sometimes people kind of listen. Because I made a separate point of this. And see if you can pick up on it. I'm going to read a couple of verses that I already read. Listen to this one. It's going to be our second point. In John chapter 9, verse 15 says, then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I see. Look at verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight, that particular individual, verse 19. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? Move down to verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know this man was a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, though I was blind, now I see. What's happening here with these Pharisees? They're just ignoring the facts. You just ignore the facts. Now, there's a reason why they're ignoring the facts, of course. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But see, this is really important here. Yes, that's our son. He was born blind. He defends himself. Look, I'm telling you. I was blind, now I see. Period. Accept that. Let's look at that. You see, this is what happens when I study with people. When I study with people, And I'll say, here's what the Bible teaches about this. I'll take something Aaron mentioned in his prayer. You know, we tell people about the church, right? We love to talk about the church. And we value because it's a blood-bought church. He purchased it with his own blood, Acts 20, verse 28. So when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, I'm going to build my church, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and he did. And you go to Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 5 and 6, and he says there's one body, which is the church. And then somebody wants to say, well, what about this verse over here? Well, okay, I'll answer that verse. But let's not neglect the ones we've already read. Any subject. Whether we're talking about the church, we're about salvation. Talk about salvation. Well, John 3:16 says, if you believe, I understand that. But remember, James chapter 2 says even the demons believe and tremble. Faith only can't save you, as he says in James chapter 2. And so you talk about he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Versus, well, no, what about this verse over here? Okay, you know what? I've often said this in studies. I said, look, we'll go over and look at those verses. I'll go over there. I'll go over to Romans chapter 10. And I know in verse 9 to 10 it says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But in that text, does it say, do you need to believe? No, it doesn't. Oh, so you don't have to believe? Well, yeah, you have to believe. Oh, yeah, so you take other verses into it. Oh, I get it. And so I go to Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And I said, well, what about these verses over here? Now, here's my point. And this is getting the facts. We'll look at those verses. And there's not any passage we need to neglect. We don't want to have pet passages. All of it is true. And we're not ashamed of any of it. But what I'm trying to get people to see is that, look at these verses. Before you leave them, what's it saying? Before we leave it, what does it say? I don't want to leave it. Get the facts. Here's the, you know, I know you want to talk about these other things. And here's this, these Pharisees. You know what? He's a sinner. He's not a man of God. We know that. And he just says, you know what? Look. All I can tell you is, I was blind. Now I see. Get the facts. Get the facts. Now, if you'll accept those facts, now you have to start reasoning, how is that possible? How could that be? See, the blind man, he reasons through that. He says, it's nobody that's not a man of God can do something like this. He's reasoning through this. He's thinking about it. But he's basing it upon the facts. These people are ignoring the facts. And when you do that, folks, you can make the Bible say anything you want. Well, I got this passage over here. Okay, you've got that passage over there. You're still ignoring these verses over here. You're still ignoring the responsibilities over here. Okay, you have those verses over there, but you're ignoring the facts. And if you ignore certain facts, you can believe and teach anything you want. It's not the truth. It's not the complete truth. We're not talking about wanting part of the truth. Talking all of it. So, truth is going to have a hard way if a person's not going to listen to the facts. And, of course, when we go down to verse 14, obviously, we know what the problem is here, guys. You know it, and I know it. I told you. We just read through it. You know the problems with these Pharisees. If you encountered the same thing, what if it was you as that blind man? What if it was you? What would you think if I took you aside, any one of you, any one of you, and I said, Warren, what's the problem? If that was you that was born blind and you were healed, and I said, what's wrong with those Pharisees? You know what Warren would say? Their minds were made up. Their minds were made up before I even talked to them. They'd already determined what Jesus was and what Jesus wasn't. And so it didn't matter what I said. And so when people make up their mind, when their minds are closed, and that's what you find here in verse 14, here's the key. Did you pick up on that when I read? Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Oh, that's it. That's it. In their mind, you don't heal on the Sabbath. I don't care what happens. In their minds, you know how Jesus had to deal with that in other passages, right? I mean, when they accused him of healing on the Sabbath, he says, which one of you has an oxen fall in the ditch? Don't you get the oxen out of the ditch? Don't you do that? You're hypocrites. You're saying, I'm wrong for healing somebody on the Sabbath, and yet you'll lift an animal out of a ditch? Where's your consistency? Well, they don't need consistency because they don't care about the truth. In their minds, their mind is closed. It's shut is the problem. We notice that in verse 16. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Plain and simple. He's not from God.
Yeah,
but he healed the man. Well, it can't be that. So when you make up your mind, when you close your mind, there's nothing you can do. We had that discussion this week talking with a gentleman. We were talking with some people about the subject of being born in sin. Man, I'm telling you. You talk about a mind made up. I mean, you present passages like Ezekiel 18:20. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. There it is, right? The Son will not bear the iniquity of the Father. And so, the Son is not guilty of something the Father did. If the Father robs a bank, the Son's not guilty. We know that. And passages go on and on. But he's like, well, how do you explain it? Well, the fact that everybody sins. How do you explain that?
They give in to temptation.
James 1. That's what sin is. You give in to temptation. Well, how do you explain there's so much sin in the world? So many people sin. It's not because we're born sinners. We're not born in sin. What's that? And you guys know, because I probably preached it since I've been here, what, 4.5 years? Going on 5 years? You've heard me say this a number of times, but whenever that subject comes up, and I'm trying to just prepare you guys, when the subject comes up, always ask the one question, right? You know it. You've heard me say it. Ask the one question. Because they're saying you inherited sin because of Adam. And that one question you always need to ask, why did Adam sin? And that's all I did. I kept coming back, and it was like the previous point, forgetting the facts. You go, I go, one question, one. Why did Adam sin? Wait a second. You didn't answer me this, Philip. Why did Adam sin? Why? Why? He was great and perfect. God said it was good. Matter of fact, God said in verse 31 of chapter 1, Genesis, it was very good. God created man good. So why did he sin? Did he inherit some sinful nature? No. Oh, he gave in to temptation and he sinned. Exactly. It's not that hard. But when you make up your mind, I told you guys the illustration. True story. When I was studying with that lady, remember that lady up in Toronto? We were studying with her and she had never learned the Bible and we educated her with the scriptures. She had never learned anything before. And then didn't even believe in God. And then here we are convincing there's a God and that this is God's word. And there she goes to work. Remember guys the story? She's standing beside a co-worker. The co-worker says, do you know we're born in sin? She comes to the next class and she says, Chuck, what does the Bible teach about it? I tell her and she looks at me after we study. She goes, no, we're born in sin. No Bible, no teaching, just a verbal statement from a co-worker. Mind's made up. When you close it, there's no opening that door. Because you're not going to listen to the facts, as we already mentioned. If you're not going to listen, not much you can do about that. And, of course, classic one, John chapter 9. You picked up on it, I'm sure, but look at verse 30. Remember when the blind man defended himself and he answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he's opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard that anyone opened the eyes of one who has been born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Great, great defense. What are they going to say? How do you respond to that, Pharisees? Are you trying to teach us? You're born in sin. Get it. Yeah, you want to talk about words born in sin talk? From a false teacher. Get out of here. Are you trying to teach us? When we get to the point where we can't be taught, where we don't want to learn, it's absurd that these Pharisees, it's absurd that you're trying to teach us. We're the religious leaders. We know more than you. How can you know more than me when you don't listen? You don't look at the facts. You close your mind. How can you know more than me? And I love teaching that particular point because that goes for all of us. It goes for you. You can know if somebody's teaching error. You can stand up and say, no, where's that in the Bible? You can reason through things, look at the facts, and just, you know, I'm just amazed of how quickly people learn things when you study with them. I mean, just quickly grasp things. Well, that's the way the Lord designed it. Aaron mentioned it in his prayer. We can read it. It's not that complex. The Lord wanted the message understandable, folks. And Jesus went about defending who he was. And I'll tell you, pride will blind the hearts of men. Swallowing our pride. You ever have to swallow your pride? You ever have to? What do you mean? Like, you ever have to admit you're wrong? Yeah. Get in line.
You had to do it?
Times I've been wrong. I can remember being in a meeting one time and up in Canada. I was preaching away there, young preacher, and used a passage incorrectly. In 1 Corinthians? It's in 1 John. I'll still never forget it. I mean, who likes that? You're invited to preach. You get up there. Now, the point was, earlier in the text, supported my point. But he was saying, actually, this verse here is not referring to what you were talking about. Appreciate it. Thank you. I'm going to make that mistake twice. But you know what? We learn. And none of us here are perfect. 1 John 1 tells us that. We're not perfect. Could you imagine a guy like Diotrephes, 3 John? You read the book Diotrephes? How could he handle teaching? No. Diotrephes wanted the preeminence. He wanted to be the guy. He wanted to do everything. That's great when people jump in and do stuff. Because we all need to be growing. We all need to be learning. Some might think to themselves, well, even today, talk about people refuse to be taught. I'm thinking of Luke 16. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? And the rich man says, send Lazarus back from the dead so he can teach my brothers. I have 5 brothers. Here it is. 2 died. One went to a place of comfort. One went to a place of torment. The one in torment was actually thinking about his family that was still alive. And he says, send Lazarus, that one who died, send him back. And he says, no. And he goes, yes, if someone goes back from the dead, they'll believe him. He said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. If they want the truth, it's there for them. Why am I bringing that up at this point? Well, because some people refuse to be taught. Because people are thinking today, you know what, Chuck, I will believe in a heartbeat if Jesus would just come back. If Jesus would just come back and talk to me and tell me what I need to do, what's expected out of me today. If Jesus himself walked through that door and took every one of us aside and said, here's what you need to do, here's what you need to do, here's what you need to do, here's what you need to do. Do you think we're all going to do it? You say, well, I would think so, Chuck. No way. Why? How do you know that for sure? Because they didn't do it when he walked on the earth. Why, you think we're different from these people? Man hasn't changed. Man has not changed. There'll be some who will. But it's always the minority. Very few are willing to say, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll take up my cross and follow you. You know what? I'm going to forget the past. Oh, no, but remember those? Well, can I go bury my father first? Can I go do that? Let me family time. Let me go do this first. I bought some oxen. Let me go test them. I bought some land. Let me go check it out. Yeah. People just come up with all kinds of things. So let's not think that I could never be the type of person who would close my mind. You can. They did back then. People are doing it today. And I come back to that question. Do you have a love for truth? I know you keep thinking, when's he going to say that statement? You can't handle the truth. No. But there are a lot of people who can't. Because they don't want to. Truth has a hard way. The final point within all of this, back to John 9, is I don't want to take it out of its context because I know they talked to the one that was born blind. Then they went to his parents. That's the part of the passage that made me think of this point. And that is, truth is going to have a hard time if you don't go to the right source. Now, here's the man that was born blind. Twice the parent says, he's of age. It says he was a man. He wasn't a child, he was a man. Twice they said, he is of age, ask him. So they went to him, but it was after that. Then they left and they went to the parents. I'm thinking, why did they leave? Why go to the parents? Wait, are you going to believe the parents now? If the parents tell you that, oh, it was Jesus that did this? Now, they said, We don't know how it was, but we do know that he was born blind. Ask him. Twice they said, ask him. He's old enough. Well, you know what? It's not going to do much good to go to the right source if we don't listen. It's not going to do much good to go to the right source if we close our minds. If we don't want the facts. There are a lot of people today that carry this around, right? Can you think of a home? Do you think it's possible that there's a home? Maybe there is. Do you think there's possible there's a home in Newburgh that doesn't have a Bible? Do you think that there's a house in Newburgh that doesn't have a Bible? There might be. There might be. But I think most places, somewhere, kind of like, you know, maybe in a bookshelf somewhere, somewhere, somebody got a Bible. People don't go to it. Where are people going? You know, go to the right source. Get the truth from where? Well, people use their friends. People use their pastor. People use their family. And people use their feelings, their emotions. What decides what is right in all of this? When you and I want to please the Lord, you're going to have to go to the right source. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Here it is. And how many times have we always told people, do you have a question? Whether it's radio or TV, we've even used them in the bulletin. We ask people, don't ask what I think. Ask, what does the Bible say about this? What does the Lord say? Give me a Bible answer. And that's what we're talking about, Aaron mentioned in his prayer. In our Bible study this morning. Talking about the work of the church. What's the limitations? What can it do? What can't it do? People, that's just silly. It does whatever it wants to do as long as it's a good thing. Who decides what is good, though? That's the point. Who decides what's right and what's wrong? And when it comes to the Pharisees and this person who was born blind, we know this person thought this through. A miracle had taken place. Jesus demonstrating his power and him wanting to follow. And what about you today? Do you have a love for the truth? Now remember, we're not talking about a love for some of the truth, but for all of us. And we're going to spend the rest of our lives learning. So folks, we need to have that desire today. Number one, learn. How do I become a Christian? How does one become born again? That's a great question. When somebody becomes a Christian, what does the Lord expect out of me now? What does the Lord expect? Am I to worship? And if I am to worship, how am I to worship? And with who? You know, all these great questions. But we have to have a desire. I'm not going to overwhelm you with all the answers to those things. I'm just going to tell you that there are answers. Let that be your desire to learn. Just this past week, five people said, can I take the correspondence course? I don't know what's happening. Just people are showing some interest. I just want to learn the Bible. It's six lessons, right? Starts up with the fundamentals. Just trying to help people to become familiar with the Word of God. Letting them know that here's where the answers are found. It's not within me, it's here. But do you have a love for it? Because if you do, if you seek it, you're going to find it. If you have questions about salvation, let us know. We'll sit down and talk. We'll open up our Bible, and we'll see what the Lord says about it. And make sure that you do what it says. That's all. You don't do what I say. You're not following the church. We're not trying to convert you to the church. Convert you to Christ. Follow Him. He's the one who died for you. He's the one that owns the church. And He can add you to it if you obey. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, you can come back. Be restored. We're here to help. Receive with open arms. If you're subject in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
Who will follow Jesus, standing for the right, holding up His banner in the thickest light, listening for His order, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today? Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways, working for the master?
counsel, watchful for his cross. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus when the tempter charms? Lead them for safety to the Savior's arms. Trusting in his mercy, trusting in his power. Seeking fresh renewals of his grace each hour. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Jesus in his work of love, leading others to him, lifting prayers above. Courage, faithful servant, in his word we see. On our side forever will the Savior be. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I.
It's good to have each and every one here this Lord's Day morning. It's good to see a good number here with us. Like Chuck said, even though we had those out of town, it's good to see for attendance. So we'll meet back again at 4, and also tonight is singing. So 4 o'clock this evening. So guys, pick out a couple of songs, and we'll go from there.
Pete, just one quick announcement. I got a phone call during services. Apparently, they're taking my dad to the ER. He's having trouble breathing, so they had took him out of services at church over at Westside. So he's on his way to the ER.
So we'll remember Keith's dad as well. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe also next Lord's Day will be switching of the teachers. Is that correct, Mark? Okay. First.
One other thing. We praying for Jared Jacobs. He's had a situation over where he's at in Africa. Apparently his luggage got stolen with his passport. So he is apparently going to be stuck. So. Hopefully, he can open up a few more doors where he's at by staying over there.
So. Sounds like he's going to be there a while. So, yeah, we're going to remember Jared for sure. Mark, Case?
Tony, I have a copy of the, or I should say, the latest copy of our financial statements posted on the bulletin board. We'll take a look at that.
Okay. There's nothing else from everyone.
Our God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day we had to come together and to worship you and worship you in spirit and truth. Our prayer, Lord, is that all that we do here is pleasing and acceptable unto you, a pleasure to you. The Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the plan of salvation you set forth for us. Your Son and our Savior, who was willing to come from heaven to teach us how to live our lives, and to provide a perfect example of how to do that well, and to teach us and to provide the law to which we should live our lives by. And then be willing to make that perfect sacrifice upon that cross for our sins, for everything. Now, the Heavenly Father, as we depart this place and go our separate ways, we pray that you be with us. We are thankful for our visitors. We pray that you bless them, watch over them as they travel. Be with us, Lord. Forgive us where we fail. And we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my God.